that's the door.
Heavenly Father, we praise you. We praise you for such beautiful day. Such beautiful Sunday when we can gather in together here in one place to proclaim your name, to glorify your name, to encourage each other, to support each other, and also to listen your word. What are you calling us to do? What do you encourage us? And especially that we are in this 1 week before Easter. Be with us. Give a Holy Spirit for us, that from this place we'll be back home with hearts that full of your love and your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a seat. I want to greet you, everyone, because we have really amazing, beautiful Sunday. 0. It's not below the 0. There is no snow. Oh, no. There is a snow on the north side of the buildings. But mostly, we don't have a snow. But don't relax. We live in Alberta. Honestly, when we arrived to Canada, our friends from McKernan Church, they say, hey, you need to remember, the season of changing the tires on your truck or van or car is Thanksgiving to winter tires, Easter to the summer tires. Last year showed me, We praise that this is amazing sunny Sunday. And also, we have a special Sunday. The Palm Sunday begins a special week of preparation for Easter. Now we have that period when we little bit stop. We make this little bit stop in a rush life. Why? We are going to have a long weekends. So it means we go somewhere. Like Ukrainians, we go to the church because we have family here. We maybe later we are going to be, okay, long weekends, let's go somewhere. But we start prepare. We're thinking about, we have a bunch of meetings and service together to remember ourselves what is Easter. And when you thinking about Palm Sunday, what comes to mind when you hear Palm Sunday? Maybe you think about Jesus coming or entering to the Jerusalem on a donkey. Or you might think about the big crowd of people that spread their cloaks and branches from the trees to the road, shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. However, two things are imperceptible at the first glance. Today we are going to talk based on the Palm Sunday story. What is the cost of discipleship? Today, with this story, we will look and we will give the answer. What is the cost of discipleship? Because when we read Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 25, we see what Jesus said. And he said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. but whoever lose his life for me will find it. It is interesting because Jesus Christ encouraged us to remember, if we make decision to follow him, he asked, okay, take your cross and follow me. And when we follow Jesus, he said that we will lose our life. Interesting. So let's look to the to the Palm Sunday story, and we will find out what was the cost of discipleship. Because Tim Keller, he said in his article, discipleship is not an option. He said that this is not an option. Jesus says that if anyone would come after me, he must follow in me. So we understand these words mean that if we make this decision, there is no a lot of ways. No, we have just one way. Follow Jesus. So, the Palm Sunday story, is written in Matthew chapter 21st, Mark chapter 11, Luke chapter 19. And it is very interesting to compare when we read all these three passages, three different authors, but they opened some details that we, when we read just one passage, we will not see. So today we are going to use different, like these three passages to understand what was the cost of discipleship. And the cost of discipleship, based on the story of the Palm Sunday, will bring us to the first question. Where does Jesus send us? The cost of discipleship is to know or to give the answer. Where does Jesus send us? Let's read Mark, Apostle Mark. He wrote this. And let's read chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. And we will try to give the answer. Where does Jesus send us? As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked it, what are you doing, untying the colt? They answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloak over it, he sat on it. And other story continues that many people spread the cloak on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the field. And they call that amazing words that we even seen today. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed in the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. So, as we can see, before Jesus entered the Jerusalem,
He said for two disciples, and he said what? Go ahead, you will enter, you will find that there's going to be a colt, the tied, untied it, and bring it to me. Amazing, yep. As we can see, fulfilled what was spoken through the prophets. Jesus was need to have a colt, not a horse, because in that time, kings show their power, their victory upon other cities or countries. They entered to the city sitting on the horse. But as we know, Bible says that Jesus will enter the Jerusalem not as other kings. He's the King of Kings. So, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was supposed to enter the city the same way he was born. He was born in a manger. So he will enter on a colt. Jesus Christ became a human, and he came to us not in the king's palace. He came humble, the same way he's entering to the last journey, because the goal is to save us. That's why he was neither cold. So he sent two disciples to the village ahead to find, to untie, and to bring the colt. And he gave a little bit instructions how to get permission to get the colt. So two disciples faced with a few things, and actually for us, for many of us, it will be really challenging. The Bible doesn't say anything about if disciples know that village or people from that place. They needed to find a colt with two descriptions. Simple, tied, and no one has ever ridden. I have a short question to the man. Do you like such situation when your wife give a list of things, what to buy, and you enter the grocery store, and you don't know this grocery store, and you are struggling to find that what is in the list, and one thing is to locate it. I see the young man, you don't know this, like, so be ready. And you struggling to locate this product that your wife wants. But do you know what happened next? What kind? So huge. And you need to satisfy your wife and you need to be correct. But you don't know. There is no instructions. In our family, my wife just make a picture, this kind. Okay. So you can understand with what kind of struggles faced two disciples. They would need to go find and untie. It was not so easy. But what is interesting, if they will not do this, they will be not fulfill what prophets said about Jesus. By acting, by doing what Jesus called them to do, they were a part of God's plan of salvation. The second also, their struggles might be. It is to encourage the owner of cult to dedicate the cult to Jesus. And they will need to understand that they are going to be faced with the other people. Because Jesus said that, go there, you will find this, and if anyone will ask you, respond in this way. So Jesus called us to do what he had in his plan. But with the same time, he instructs us how to act, how to speak. But with the same time, we will face the challenges. And it is on us how we are going through this. How we are going to face this deal. And as a result, disciples took the responsibility, and they went, found, untied, and brought, called to the Jesus. When we read the Matthew chapter 28, we'll find out that God is also calling us to do something. God is calling us to be a part of his plan. God called us to action. And he said, the last words of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples for all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus Christ gives this commandment. He gives this call to every one of us. We cannot come to the church and say that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and God will not use us in his will. No. God wants to use us. And God is calling to us. And cause for our discipleship, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's mean to hear what he is calling me to do. Where does he send me? This is very, very important. The best example for us, is our missionary partners that we support at McKernan here. Every week, we have a missionary partner. Don't be afraid to come and ask. Don't be afraid and ask them how they felt this call. How they respond to this call. Where God sent them. Because God doesn't send everyone to the same place. No. It might be country abroad. Maybe country across the ocean. Because actually Canada has just one country abroad. But through the oceans. Or maybe God is calling to come across the street. Or maybe come to the left side or to the right side neighbor. Listen attentively. Because God is calling to us. So for us, it's very important to give answers for questions, for self-check. Have I heard God's call me to action? If so, if I heard, What makes me doubt? Is it he? He tells me how they will react, how they will respond. Should I? Am I going to be look embarrassing? This is very important to ask this question, being in our private time with God. Think, give these answers to these questions. Do I know where God sent me now? What action He wants to do through me? Do I know what I need to do and how to act? This is a simple questions, but answers for these questions help us to understand what I am going to do. Honestly, Christian people who believe in Jesus Christ and they answering for these questions, they will find their sense of life. And now this world, they fulfill of the people who doesn't know what to do and how to live. I was a teacher in Ukraine. I was teacher of languages. But with the same time, starting from grade 9, because in Ukraine mostly schools are from kindergarten to grade 11. It's the highest grade in school, secondary school. I was asking the people who finished grade 9, do you know what you're going to do in your life? And just 2% were able to say, yes, I know which school I'm going to apply after I finish this school. Others, I don't know. So this is also very important for us as a person who believe in Jesus Christ, that He saved us and He prepared a life to us. When we respond to this question and we make decision to be disciple, we will find out that we have a sense of our life. This is amazing to us. And when we will find out the sense of our life, what we can do for Jesus Christ, what we, actually not what we can do, but how God can use us in His plan, we will see that we are in the middle of God's will and it is the best place ever. And it's no matter where are you, in an amazing country that is Canada, or maybe some small towns in the Ukraine. Sorry, I'm trying to say in English because I have Ukrainian. Богом забута земля. It is mean that God forgive about this land. So like somewhere that nobody knows about this. It's no matter where are you. It's very important if you are in the middle of the God's will. So the Palm Sunday story tells us and shows us that how it is amazing when we understand the cost of our discipleship and we give answer for this question, where does Jesus send us? But the Palm Sunday story, brings up the second question. And do you know what it is? How do you think? The question is, what does Jesus want us to dedicate to Him? In the Gospel Mark, we read that there was a people and just ask. But Gospel Luke wrote interesting words. Let's read Luke chapter 19, verses 32 to 36. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its, can you read what there says? Owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloak on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloak on the road. I'm sorry. According to this, the owners, they will need to dedicate their colt. And what is interesting, in this situation, when we read all these three Gospels, we'll find out that disciples were untied donkey, mom, and the colt. Two are taken. In one article in the internet, I found that the donkey has played an important role at that time. The animal is valued above all as a tireless beast of burden, given that it is capable to travel great distance without needing any food. While they were of particular importance in civilian life, donkeys were also deployed in a military context, where they not only acted as reliable pack animals that were responsible for the transporting provisions and equipment, but also had a calming effect on the army's agitated horses, thanks to their placid nature. So in that time, donkey, colt, was a truck. And now, it is that moment that many people will understand. You're sitting here. Thank you very much, the owner of GMC Sierra truck. Now that I'm feeling the heart of that person. You're sitting in the church, listen to the sermon, and two guys come in and starting to open your van truck. Oh, nice. Praise the Lord. I'm not sure. You run there and start, hey, what are you doing? Aho. Oh, it's Ukrainian word. Sorry. Hey. Jesus needs it. Yeah, okay. Oh, no, there's the keys. Then you come to home because you think, oh, I have another truck at home. Open garage, Jesus needs it. Like, garage is empty, just signed. Jesus needs it. Nice! But it's funny. But the owner did this. Bible doesn't say that owner, he was... okay, let's give me something that you will back. No, it doesn't say. The next words, when the disciples, they replied and they said that the Lord needs it. Verse 35 says, they brought it to Jesus. This is the cost of discipleship. You might not be able to go somewhere, but we are able to give someone. And this is the cost of our discipleship. What does Jesus want me to dedicate to him? Luke, he wrote... he wrote this to show to us that not just somebody were looking, like standing in and guarding, and, oh, you're doing something. Hey, what are you doing? The Lord needs it. Oh, okay, no problem. He wrote that the owners, am I ready to dedicate? That is value to me. We used to maybe to dedicate to God that we don't like need. Donkey, in this story, this is not just like something that you don't need. It is very important in your life. When we read the First Kings chapter 17, verses from 8 to 24, we will read the story about Prophet Elijah, that he was sent to a place where the widow of Zarepta was caring about him. But what is interesting, there is a few things that we need to look to this story. First, verse 9 says this. This is the word, God's word to Elijah. Go at once of the Zarepta of Sidon and stay there. I have commandment a widow in that place to supply you with food. In that period when there was problem with groceries, there was no 3 years of rain. And at that place, rain is a not having the rain is a disaster. If someone was able to be in a Palestine territory, you will understand that no rain, you dead. And God command to a widow the most from society, it is the lowest layer. And he said, go and stay with her. And what happened? He came, hello. I don't know if you know me, but I'm staying with you. You are going to feed me. Hey, I have just like this. We are going like little bit flour, oil. You're going to stay and I'm going to feed you, but you need to understand, this is the last what I have. I'm preparing. We are going to eat with my kids and I will die. We will die. Do you understand? Yeah, yeah. So let's do it. You prepare for me first and then you will prepare for you. Hey, I just told you. No, do what I said. And she did. I don't know what she was thinking about. We cannot imagine. But she gave the last. And as the mom, she doesn't feed their kid, because we know mom has so big heart that she will make decision not to eat instead to feed the kids. And she did. Okay. Please. And then verse 14 says next words. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of the oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. What happened with this action, with this dedication to God's will, to be a part of God's work? She gave the last, and with her happened that we would love to have. We all would love to have that fridge that you open and it's full. You grab everything, clothes, eat. Your family is not hot, like, fitted, not hungry. You open again, everything is full. That is what happened with her after she dedicated what God gave to her. Very powerful story also is when Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Another story about amazing what God do. And this story tells us, we can find it is in Matthew 14, chapter 14, verse 13 to 21, Mark chapter 6, 31 to 44, Luke chapter 9, 12 to 17. Even John wrote about this, John 6, 1 to 14. And we see the story that a big crowd was so hungry that even disciples says, hey, Jesus, please send them to the villages because we all hungry and we don't know how to feed them. And Jesus said, you need to feed. And they find a young man, kid, and he was also be a part of a God's miracle. When he gave his lunch, 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Okay, like, please. And Jesus did a miracle. Everyone was fed so much that after they gathered 12 baskets leftovers. This is amazing. So for us, it's very important to understand also what does Jesus want us to dedicate to him. To be succeed in applying this, we need to go through some questions. Again, do I feel that God wants me to dedicate something to him? What makes me doubt of this? Because to go it is okay, but to give something from me? What would encourage me to fulfill my calling and dedicate mine to God? My stuff to God. Today we are talking about the cost of discipleship based on the Palm Sunday story. It is very important to us to give the next questions. If we hear that God is calling us, where does Jesus send us? If we see that we are faced to the challenges, don't forget that God is with us. He always with us. And he wants us to do this call. When we feel the call of God, maybe we need to ask ourselves, okay, what God you want to that we will dedicate to you? So if somebody will ask you, what is the cost of discipleship? You can freely say that based on the Palm Sunday story, it is to know where Jesus sends us and to go and go there. And to know what Jesus wants to dedicate to him and dedicate it. Let God bless everyone to follow Jesus, to be his disciple, to proclaim his name through our life. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We glorify your name. We thank you that you came to our earth, become a human to save us. We praise you for this. And we also praise you that you call us to be a part of your will, a part of your work. So help us to understand what you are calling us to do, where to go, what to dedicate to you. And be with us. Let we also be able to see this powerful actions that you do in every of us. Thank you for Holy Spirit that fill up our hearts and stay in our hearts, and we can have this connection with you. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ready to sing with us.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sins. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, I see a near revival stirring as we pray and seek. We're on our knees. On our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I work into eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Today is a beautiful day. God bless us. So spend this time to be together, to have this fellowship, to ask, how are you? But really, how are you? And spend this time together. Also, don't forget about that now I'm encouraged to come the prayer team to be available. If you need a prayer, you can come and pray together. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you guys.